5:24. I first read the Sanskrit and then the translation. Yonta sukkam sukantara ramas tatantirchoti evaya sayoga brahmanirvanam brahmabuddha tikatshati. Translation. One whose happiness is within, which active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. So, to attain that stage, in the previous verses, Lord Krishna has made some points you have to follow to attain this state. This state of going within is called samadhi. I just read the translation of the two verses before, that we know what we have to do the conditions to attain that state. Text 22. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses, O son of Kunti. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, so the wise man does not delight in them. So, one must know, if I want to enjoy things in objects in this world, then I will suffer. That's a reaction. That does a lot of karma. You want to enjoy? You will get reaction, and the reaction is suffering. That unless one does not act to enjoy, but to please Krishna. And then in text 23, another condition is given. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, is well situated and happy in this world. That we discussed Wednesday. So you have to control your senses. The senses want sense gratification, but you can only give it to the extent that it's necessary for living a balanced life for self. Then that otherwise it becomes a whole absorption. If one is not able to control the senses, one's mind will remain agitated with desire, hankering for things in this world, or lamentation of things that went wrong. No samadhi. So that's a second condition. And now, in this verse, I repeat the verse again. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the mystic, the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. I read the short translation, the short commentary of by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagement meant for deriving superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit silent on any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahma Bhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to Godhead, back to home. So that's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Amagyanati mandasya nansi nansi saksyul militam yena tasmai shi gurubhema shichetanyam anopistam staptam yena bhutane shvam rupakadam yam dadati svapavantikam Vandiyam Shiru Shiyudha Padakamnam Shigong Vaishnavamsa Shirupam sarjatam saganaraghnatam tamtam sativam sadvaitam savadutam parijanasaitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanadita Shikshakam Vitam Sham Hey Krishna Karuna Sinu Dina Bandhu Chiyat Pratika Upesha Kropka Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhani Sutta Devi Panamama Hari Kriya Panka Kalkta Vishan Kripa Sinbhai Vishan Patna Pupan Vyopan Shabhyana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Padaya Shimati Bhakti Vinanda Swami Tinanam Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pacharana Nirvisesa Sinyavadi Paskachai Tasatara Well, it was in Mayapur, I think. It happens twice, it's not the only occasion. But someone, Mataji, showed Srila Prabhupada a picture when I was in Vrindavan. And she showed that the Prabhupada and said to Srila Prabhupada, it looks, you look morose on that picture, depressed. Srila Prabhupada looked at it and said, oh yes, I remember that moment. I felt great ecstasy at that moment. So by the external, you cannot see how a person feels, who is a pure devotee feels within. So, ecstasy means deep meditation, deep absorption, deep meditation. That sometimes Srila Prabhupada had deep ecstasies in a lecture. It happened in Mayapur. I read it in Prabhupada in Amrita, it's there. And also once in America. He gave a lecture and suddenly he stopped speaking, completely stunned. And all the devotees felt the reflection of that ecstasy. And they became very respectful and very silent. And then they started kirtan. And after 5-6 minutes, Srila Prabhupada came again to external consciousness. And he said, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And he went upstairs. It's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, the heart of materialistic people, that these are those mentioned, it's mentioned in the previous two verses, those who cannot control their senses, after sensual enjoyment, their heart is like a cotton swab. The slight little wind and it moves. So emotions come but they go. That because their mind is taken away by desires, by problems, so many things. But the heart of a pure devotee is a golden heart. It's very deep emotions and ecstasy because one is in the present. One can be in the present. It's not, his mind is not taken away by material desires to the future or that by problem solving. So these emotions are very deep for a pure devotee. But a pure devotee keeps them hidden. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would, out of ecstasy, he could not continue speaking. It means he forget everything in this material world. We think things in this material world are very valuable. But it's not. that we are not concerned with our wife or our husband in our previous life and the children in our previous life. We don't even remember them, that. And we take it very serious in this life, but it's all, that's a mistake. That it's not that we don't have to do our duty, but the attachment should be transferred to within, to Krishna, to serving Krishna. Yeah. But that's not that samadhi is not active, can be very active. Like Hanuman was serving Lord Ramchandra. That when Indrajit was hurting Lakshman with an arrow, he became unconscious. And the monkey doctor said, yeah, the only thing that can help him is a certain herb. I forgot the name. You know the name? No? Yeah. Anyway, it's that name had to be found on the top of a mountain in the Himalayas. So Hanuman flew to that mountain, but he could not find the herb. So he decided to take the whole top of the mountain and fly back. But that is the spirit of samadhi, in active spiritual life.
Sanjeevani.
The herb, yeah. Yeah. So Hanuman is representing the process of Dasyam, servitor, and is completely absorbed in this service. This absorption in this service is samadhi. So it's like, you see, I've seen many times, and mothers are fixed on their child. Whatever happens to the child, they are there, very concerned. Can you imagine if you have such a relationship with Krishna? That's called Vatsalya Ras, yeah. But all relationships with Krishna, they rest on Dasyam. When Lord Chaitanya had his pastimes 500 years ago, then all the devotees were in Dasya Ras, servitor, a ship. Because first to get a relationship with Krishna, we must first become servants. That's the first step. In Lord Chaitanya's pastime, all the devotees were in Dasyam, servitorship, servitor relationship. But then with Radha and Krishna, you develop a relationship in higher rasas. But first you have to go to Lord Chaitanya. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and serving his mission, we become eligible to enter in Goloka Vrindavan. Why is that? Because how can you get entrance in Goloka Vrindavan? It's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. You must follow in the footsteps of a Ragatmika devotee. One who has attained perfection in devotional service, that one who an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. So you must follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. Therefore we sing every morning the Tulsi prayers, and there we pray to Tulsi Devi, please make me a resident of Vrindavan. because she is the she's in charge, and she's the commander in Goloka Vrindavan that organizes all the service to bring Radha and Krishna together. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna together. That's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nai Anga. It's the same. It's in one Radha and Krishna. So those things is Krishna, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the topmost devotee in Goloka Vrindavan. So by following Lord Chaitanya, we are following Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is very dear to Krishna, because she is the topmost devotee. So if Srimati Radharani see that we serve his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's mission, then she will say to Krishna, "This devotee is better than me, please accept it." So that's how one gets in Goloka Vrindavan. So we need to go to Lord Chaitanya to worship Radha Krishna. Interesting. But bhakti means devotional service. Service must be there in the. That's very important. If we don't approach Krishna as a servant, then we take Krishna cheaply. That will not work. But in this verse, Lord Krishna is distinguishing inner happiness and outer happiness. The inner happiness comes from our relationship with Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it's called the linking process of devotional service, linking with Krishna, a relationship with Krishna. And once engaged in that relationship, that's our natural happiness. Because we are turning to the source of all happiness. Lord Krishna is also Ram. Ram is the source of all happiness. So you have inner happiness and outer happiness. Outer happiness, the happiness of the senses. So the real yogis, it's mentioned in Yoginam Apisarvam Madhinam Tratnam Shadvam Pachiteyamam Sume Yuktatamamata. The highest yogi, Krishna says, is one who is united in love with me within the heart. But to come to that platform, one must first come to the spiritual platform, that's called the Brahma Buddha platform. And after coming to the spiritual platform, we can go beyond that. First, we have to identify as a spirit soul. But if we realize we are a spirit soul, we are released from miseries. So that's not just a theoretical consideration. the real identification as a soul. But when you serve Lord Krishna, then you act as a spirit soul, and that's a practice, and that practice purifies our heart. Yes. So Arjuna was identifying with the body at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and what was the result? He was in great distress. So if we become liberated from this false identification, then we become happy. And if we identify with the body, we are full of desires and lamentation. Because on the spiritual platform, there is nothing to hanker for. All you feel completely satisfied. And that is this happiness within here. That is described here. Because if one is on the spiritual platform, one does not see the duality in the world. And then one is always happy. Duality means so-called good and bad. Good and bad for the body. But material life is not our real life. But from this Brahma Buddha platform, we have to go further. Haridas Thakur explains when we chant Hare Krishna, there are two main stages. The first stage is purification. Then, if we are in that stage, we chant, and what's the result of chanting? It's purification of the heart. But to come to that purification, one must chant, Haridas Thakur said, in Namabhas. Namabhas is a reflection of the holy name. And that reflection alone brings one to the platform of liberation. But how to chant Namabhas is by giving up apparat, offenses. And therefore Srila Prabhupada gave us the 10 offenses we have to avoid. And then the heart becomes purified. And when the heart becomes purified, then one becomes peaceful, not disturbed anymore. Because the identification with the body is gone for the most part. And then one continues chanting. This is called nishtha, that position of liberation. If one is 24 hours engaged in devotional service, no time for anything else, that's considered nishtha. If one follows strictly, that's not easy, following strictly Prabhupada. But if one is liberated and one chants, then what's the result? It's a development of spiritual feeling, the development of love of Krishna. Devotion comes. And that's the real happiness inside. Because material happiness is always tinged, filled with anxiety. Always is there. But in that real happiness inside, there is no anxiety. It's only feelings of love and devotion and happiness, which is beyond our imagination. So that's what I could say on this verse. More to say, but are there any questions, comments? Yes.
How should we chant more attentively and do no apparat?
Of course, to chant attentively, it's not easy. There are two things: our own endeavor and the mercy of Krishna. But the mercy of Krishna comes to his devotees. Because you need both. It's not on our own endeavor that we really are going to improve. But the endeavor is on the other side important. It's our sincerity is very important. So sincerity, being sincere and having faith, faith and patience. The neck of the instruction gives three elements. Yeah. Utsan isaya dayat tat tat kama vartanat. Yeah. Sangotyaga satoviti satpir bhakti pasitati. Six items to make progress in devotional service. Six things that are favorable. And that is also applicable to the chanting. Utsyam, being enthusiastic. Enthusiastic. How do you get enthusiastic? By association of devotees who are enthusiastic. I feel that that is a very important element, having association with those who are advanced. Utsyam nisayat dayat. One must have determination. Determination. Determination comes from hearing and becoming aware of one's situation. I give you an example of how someone got determination. You know the story of Al-Jamil, he had this nearly that experience, and he saw this Vishnu Dutas and his conversation with this Yama Dutas. After that near death experience, he got from that experience three benefits. By Krishna's mercy, his life was prolonged. He did not die. The second benefit was he saw this Vishnu Dutas and he could never forget them. That's like remembering Krishna. And the third point was his determination that he got from it. Because he heard this conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas and became aware of his sinful past. And by hearing that, he became aware. And he got a determination that I will never do it again. And that's important, that we make that determination in our lives. I will never do sinful activities again. But that should be extended to it. I shall never disrespect devotees, that I'm their servant. I will never disrespect my spiritual master and following his instructions. I will never deviate from Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. But that determination you get only by hearing. If you don't know in depth Krishna's instructions, how can you have the determination to follow it? You even don't know them. So we must hear. Hear about two sides, the futility of material life, that's one thing, and about the spiritual practice and the happiness derived from that by having experience of that happiness. Because sometimes, I remember my spiritual master, he chastised me sometimes very heavily. But also others that I took guidance from. And I remember that chastisement, and I never did these things again. that when in 96 I was still a bhakta, was just before my initiation, that I was in Mayapur at a place where Jagannath Das Babaji was chanting on a tree with big leaves. I had long time as a leaf from that tree with me. And this small temple on there, small temple with deities of Kaunita, I think. And we were on Parikram with Bhakti Charamaj and all his disciples. And it was in August 96, and there was a heat wave. Even a heat wave for terms of Mayapur, so very hot. And you just could not walk in the sun. You would burn your feet. And all the devotees were around my Guru Maharaj in this small temple, but I could not fit in, so I could not stand close by because I would burn my feet. So I was in a shed close by. And my Guru Maharaj started to lecture, and suddenly he saw me and he said, "Bhaktaluk, come here," and I had to sit just in front of him, and the devotees make space, and I sat down in front of me. I sat down, and he shouted to me, "Don't sit with your back to the deities." And I remember that. I never did that again. So that's how you learn by association of devotees, and yeah. If you are submissive, you learn, you don't forget that. And that's in that way you get determination, yes? You become afraid of not following these instructions. But first you have to know the instructions. Because here in Bhagavad Gita, we mention a few spiritual techniques. But in my humble opinion, just by hearing this first and hearing a lecture of it, you don't realize it. It must go deeper. Therefore, you must hear the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, it's further explained. And then you have to bring it in practice. And you remember things. You see, sometimes I see as something unexpected happens. Immediately you think of Krishna, that yes, maybe it's a reaction of my past karma. You think, "Thank you, Krishna, that's now I get rid of the reaction." But whatever you want, you remember Krishna in these situations. That comes by hearing, by association of devotees. You get that faith in Krishna. But if you don't associate with devotees, don't hear the Bhagavatam, and don't have the example of other devotees, then you are the whole day in Maya and thinking of your body and all the problems, then it's not going to happen. Maya is very strong. But Maya cannot touch you when you are in association of devotees. So important. So important. I realize that more and more. And it's not only that we do what we want. You have to learn to do what Krishna wants. I found that very interesting when I was in New York. I had to surrender to all situations. I want to go to bed early, but we had programs till midnight. What can we do? That was very interesting. I found also this food for life, feeding the homeless, at Tompkins Square. Tompkins Park Square. That's very interesting too. That it's a surrender, selfless service. And we have to tolerate, because these people, they are complete, many of them were completely under drugs. But you try to surrender on whatever circumstances. And I say always, Krishna consciousness becomes an adventure. See what Krishna, what situation Krishna brings you. That, and that mood is required only in your chanting. That whatever happens, good or bad, we have to learn it to see that Krishna's mercy. But unfortunately, that's not a sudden thing that you have. That's the determination, but then you have Daryat. Daryat means patience. Patience. The process works, but we have to be patient, and we have to apply it. That you can also be in family life. It's man and husband are performing devotional service. They worship the deity and so on. That and they spend time together reading the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. That's also good. Spiritual life does not mean living in the temple. You can do it in all circumstances, but we have to follow the rules of the ashrams. I know many Kriyastas who are great devotees. Nice examples for me. Anyway, does that help? Yes.
I've heard you mention Maharaj, and I can't remember reading anywhere, but you said that from the offensive and attentive chanting, all the other offenses come.
Yeah.
Can you comment on that? Explain how that works?
Yeah. That's because inattentive chanting means that your mind is taken away. Your mind is taken away for hankering or lamentation, two possibilities. To chant attentive means being in the present, but hankering and lamentation takes you away from the present. In the spiritual world, it's only the present. In the material world, in reality, there is also only the present, because only the present we have. But it brings you to the future or the past, and we lose the present. Being attentive means giving up lamentation and hankering. Giving up hankering, how do we give up hankering? It's by hearing Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, that we hear about the futility of material desires. It's all temporary, and the enjoyment is not much. And enjoyment means suffering. If you realize, I want to enjoy, I will suffer, then you don't want it anymore. You want to minimize that holocaust. But if we hanker and our mind thinks takes us away, it means we did not yet learn and then the past lamentation. What's the use of lamentation? For opportunities we had of enjoyment, which took not take place. But enjoyment is suffering. So what's the use of lamentation? Soon we are out of this world. You can lament all day, but just a devotee becomes callous to these things. and he engages in his duty. That, but it requires hearing. And that's because this it's lamentation, illusion, and fear. That's what comes from this hankering and lamentation. And in the Bhagavatam is said, the Bhagavatam is just by oral reception of the Bhagavatam, one becomes free from lamentation, illusion, and fear. So one becomes free from this hankering and this lamentation, just by hearing the Bhagavatam. But it's not just hearing. There must be a qualified speaker and a qualified hearer. And these qualities, they are explained in the Bhagavatam. If we don't follow the four relative principles, we cannot hear with attention. Because to hear with attention, Srila Prabhupada said, one must be pure in mind. And one can only be pure in mind when one is pure in his habits. So one must be qualified to follow the regulative principles at least. And the speaker must also have these qualities, but he must have realization. He must be in the Guru Parampara. That the more realization that the speaker has, the more you can hear from them. But today we are fortunate and unfortunate. Unfortunate because we are mostly in family life or somewhere far away from advanced devotees. But fortunate, we have the internet. You can hear their lectures. You can hear them and contact them even via cyberspace today. So we can take advantage of that. We can hear lectures at every moment. That's all the lectures of Prabhupada, devotees like Radhanath Maharaj and others. That's devotees who have realizations. That according to the level of their realizations, we can learn. We can learn from many devotees, not only from those who are super advanced, but by hearing that. Then gradually we start to get the point. But many times what's helpful is taking some challenge in the mission of Prabhupada. Like you distribute books. You think you want to give some book to someone? They all say yes, please give the book. No, you have to tolerate a lot. But by that tolerating, you start to feel Krishna's presence. Because you start to understand, I'm not a doer. That I depend on Krishna. And you start to pray to Krishna. You want to give someone a book, you pray to the super soul in his heart. That to make his heart soft. Because you feel Krishna's presence. And then your service becomes relishable. Otherwise, book distribution can be a cause of lamentation. Because everyone hurts you, falls you. So in that way, these are ways to come to that point. To give up this hankering and lamentation, and then you can be in the present. Anyway, that's certainly an aspect of it. There's more to say about it. Control of the mind is a big study. That satisfaction, how to get inner satisfaction. I have a whole seminar on that, and it's interesting that how to give up these things. Something else?
That's a nice story, thank you.
Yeah, anyway, just a few points only for reflection. Something else? Yes.
Well, just we're talking about, you know, how to be affected by happiness and distress and not lament or you know, try to be equipoised. And that may be easier if the circumstances are beyond our control. But it, let's say we do something really stupid or we make a mistake and there are consequences, then I suppose we don't just, oh, well, you know, but it's the, of course, we're not doers, but we still act. So is that a different situation where we should be more like reflective or try to learn from that? Is that different? Or is it okay to be affected then? The question is it okay to be feel affected if we have done something stupid?
That we can have different reactions to that. Miles Briggs, it did something very stupid by offending Samakarishi. What was his reaction? He felt great guilt inside. He said, why did I do it? That he was praying to Krishna, please give me the reaction that and he said, yeah, give me the reaction, not my family members. That so if we do something stupid, at least in terms of acting against scriptural injunctions, because that's stupid. That's what stupid really means. Then we should feel guilt inside, and that's good. That's good to feel that guilt. That will purify our heart. That I'm not saying we have to follow the footsteps of Maharaj Pariksit. It was, for him, it was natural to act like that, because he was a pure devotee. With a pure devotee by accident does something bad, he feels very guilty inside. But we should not take that light and thinking, oh, that's, I just did it. I did it only once, and it maybe have a, yeah. And not taking it so serious. No, it's good to take it serious. That and try to avoid it in the future. That's if Krishna sees we are repentant, then we burn the karma away from that. That's good. But that's important to feel repentant. Spiritual life means also, when we spiritual advance, if something goes wrong, things always, the fault lies in me. That example is there of the third canto, chapter, the chapter description of the kingdom of God. And there the four kumaras are cursing the giant Vijay, and then Lord Narayan comes, because Jayan Vijay were very old senior devotees, were serving him since time immemorial as gatekeepers. And now this Brahmavadis, these Kumaras, they were not even Bhaktas. That they were cursing his devotees, so he was there. But he said to the four Kumaras that, yes, the Brahmins are very dear to me. I would lop off my arm if my arm would do something wrong to them. Please forgive me for the fault of my servants. The fault lies in me, Lord Narayan says. So in the spiritual world, if something goes wrong, everyone thinks that the fault lies in me. In the material world, every time everyone thinks the fault is by the other, not I'm a good person, it's the other one. So that's the difference of mentality. That yes, that I did also many stupid things when I was young, and I'm not proud of it. And I think everyone who becomes a devotee, that it's not that one must have done something criminal. But the breaking of the four regulative principles is a kind of criminal act to go against. It's against the religious principles. That, I mean, we must recognize that. that yeah. So that's good to feel repentant for that. If you feel repentant, you will certainly never do it again. That, but of course, we have to see things according to time, place, and circumstances. But these are general principles. Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, you went much deeper than I was thinking, but that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Thank you very much. I will speak on Sunday on the next verse. That 25. Yeah, I'm going to this chapter. Jai Prabhupada.
Jai.